Okay. So it comes out like this. It's the thing from last week. So there's several questions here, right? Question of why first is the Ask an Emma. Then it says that on the contrary, Ask Pon Leganim. Then that can't just be coincidental. Then we ask why it's Avicha Shabashamayim. And of course, the most amazing thing is why is a tefillah in this particular number? Yeah, what's the tefillah doing here? The Bani Yerchem, Mary Mayo. There's no place to daven. Okay. So, we are on the point of like this. The point the Rambam mentions about the midos that there are in the Ummah. So we broke it down to basically two categories. One was Rachmanim. Rachmanim and Dom Chassidim are the same. They're the same. It's just a question of different aspects of Rachmanis is the first thing necessary to recognize another person. And Dom Chassidim means actually that he's not only is he Merachim, but he's also generous. He's also he gives of himself. He's Dom Chassidim. He gives of himself. Of course, you could have one without the other. You could have a Dom Chassidim without the emotion of Rachmanis. He just does it. That's it. He has to be Dom Chassidim. He does it. But we say, you know, that it's not just Gemilas Chesed. That they act. It's not just an action, but also emotionally. Rachmanim. It means that when he's a Gomel Chesed, he feels for the other person. He's Mishtatef Mitzayra Shachavera. So, it's both. And you Rachmanim alone without Gomel Chesed. You have also, a person feels sorry for somebody, but he doesn't do anything about it. Do you Rachmanis? Yeah. That's what the Baal Nosi used to say. When you hear somebody's in the state of Tzoras, you shouldn't catch. You shouldn't go, aish. Why? Because they say, as soon as you do that, you feel the yes already. A lot of truth to that, like a lot of truth. In Klal Yisrael, you see, it's both. It's Rachmanim, they feel for the other person, but it's also Gan Chasadim. They act as well. So you have both. Okay. So the truth now is that those two things, Rachmanim and Gan Chasadim, is one, and Baishanim is another. Those two aspects are what make a person, what give Klal Yisrael the unique characteristics. And that they're Baishanim, that it means to say that when confronted with a misdeed, they feel a sense of shame, a sense of guilt and a sense of shame. Now, these of course are emotional things, emotional traits, but they're emotions which are considered by Chazal to be good emotions. Of course, they're not emotions that a person should use to guide his life under all circumstances. For instance, if a Rasha begs you, so then you can't be a Rahman, then you have to be an Avzar, you have to be tough. But in general, it's good to have these two midos. It's good to have these two midos. Why these two? So Rachmanim we explained because it goes outside, a person has to be able to go outside of himself. A person is just completely involved in his megalomania, so then he really can never reach perfection because he's totally involved in himself, he can't go out of himself. So that's why you have to have Rachmanim. Baishanim is, it's really, these two meters are against the two aspects of the human personality. One aspect of the human personality is the narcissistic aspect, where a person is involved, all his energies are involved in himself. And That's the egoistic part of man's nature. The other one is really against the desires, the typhus that a person has. The libidinous part, as I call it, of a person's nature. So what prevents a person from being totally in the state of narcissism? The midas haracham. Dome chasadim is exactly the opposite. You recognize another person. Not an achzor. Achzor means it's only a stranger. Somebody else, not me. He's not an achzor. So that's the midas haracham. And what prevents a person from being involved, from giving way to the taivas, to the powerful forces of the emotions? What prevents a person? Midas baishanis, the shame. He reflects and he thinks, if I do this, how will I feel about myself? How will I feel if somebody sees me? People know that I do this. Midas, that's baishanis. That midah, the midah baishanis, is what prevents a person from giving into the taivas. So both of these really reflect the totality of the human personality in terms of the emotions which counter imperfections. So Baishanis counters the imperfection of giving way to the typhus. And Gemilas Chasadim and Rachmanis counters the other kind of the other emotions of the personality, which is total narcissism. Okay? Yes. It's speaking in psychological terms, which means to say that the ability to identify with others, even though ultimately, of course, you're doing it for yourself, but that puts a person in a state of realization that there's something external. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It shouldn't be, there's two selves. There's a self direct, and then there's a self through somebody else. Through somebody else is better. Not only better, I mean, it's necessary for perfection. Okay? I'm not talking about philosophically, ultimately you do everything for yourself. It's impossible to do anything that's not for yourself, because it always starts from yourself, so it has to be for the self. And the Torah wants a person to do things for himself, but the things the Torah wants a person to do for himself is to attain perfection for himself. That's the ultimate there. That's really the Rambam. It's interesting, the Mishnah does only mentions one. The Mishnah doesn't mention the Midas Rachman, which Rana mentions. The Mishnah only mentions which one? The one of Baishanis. Correct? Okay, it's interesting. But the Rana mentions above. Okay. So, what I want to say is like this, that the underlying key to unraveling this Mishnah and answering all the questions that we have on the Mishnah is a part of the philosophy of Yadus, and it's unique to Yadus. And I've mentioned it before, but the Mishnah, this Mishnah is exclusively directed towards that concept. What is the concept? What is the concept? The concept is that and this is a difference, I told you, between Yadus and between the philosophers, and Yadus did something that, until this day, has never been accomplished, really. But it seems like, you know, the world, when it investigates, goes off on various topics. So you have different topics, you have physics, you have psychology. There's no relationship really between physics and psychology. The way you study physics is completely different than the way you study psychology. Okay? Physics requires, there are psychologists do employ mathematics. It's not essential, the math is not essential to the nature of the phenomena that you're talking about. Whereas in physics, mathematics is necessary. Mathematics is the language of physics. It's something which you can't understand physics unless you understand the mathematics. It's a part of the mind that you use to unravel the world of physics. It's different than the mind you use to unravel the world of psychology. It's a different part of it. It's a different thing. And philosophers are disturbed with this. It's a disturbing thing that there's areas of knowledge being as, and one is unrelated to the other. These different methods of discovery. It's a strange kind of thing. But we, at our point of knowledge, can't see the whole. We only see parts. So parts reveal themselves in different ways. They manifest themselves in different ways. So just like in physics as well, the biggest problem is understanding the world of the gross phenomena, which are visible, and bringing them in line with the world of the invisible phenomena. Okay, they can't unify both worlds. So man gropes, and he uses methods. He finds this method is successful in this area, this other method is successful in the other area. He tries to unify them, bring them together. But it's a big struggle, and whether man will ultimately be able to do that or not is questionable altogether. Questionable altogether. The more you investigate, the more questionable it becomes. Even in the one area of physics itself. But man approaches his investigations in a very separate manner, separate fields. And the field of philosophy, for instance, the field of philosophy is one field, and the field of psychology is another field. Two different fields. And the world at this point has not brought these two fields together. You see philosophers that are great philosophers, so-called great philosophers, and yet, when it comes to area psychology, they're totally ignorant. And you see psychologists that have no concept of philosophy. And the two are separate fields, totally separate fields. The greatness of Yadus is that Yadus unified both. Yadus is a unification of both. Yadus recognizes a simple thing, that in order for a person to attain perfection in life, to have a good life, these two fields can't remain separate. Impossible. Because philosophy teaches a person what he should do, the way of life that makes sense to his mind. He sees this is the kind of life that's going to give him satisfaction, is going to make him happy. But then he's not finished yet, because even after he knows it, there are things that prevent him from doing it, which he doesn't understand exactly what's happening. He thought all he has to do is discover what the good is, and then he'll naturally follow. But then, after he makes that discovery, so what happens is he finds out it's not so simple to do it. One thing to understand is to discover it. That's always a danger, by the way. When a person approaches me with Tasha's questions about Yadus, so I always know that sometimes I see a person approach and say, "Oh, my life, I never understood, you know, can you please explain to me this, how come this mitzvah, that mitzvah, and what's the philosophy behind Yadus?" They always think they have tremendous problems and tremendous questions. And it's true, they do have tremendous questions, and the reason why they have tremendous questions is because there's no system really that can answer this question. It happens to be true. Aside from Yadus, there's no system that can answer this question. So people that have religious questions will ask these questions, and if they go to other religions, they'll tell them not to ask the questions because there are no answers. But Yadus has answers. Yadus has the answers. So the moment people approach you and ask you the questions about these philosophical questions that were plaguing them all their lives, so immediately when it happens to me, I know right away, this is going to be a problem. Why? Because I can answer the questions. Yadus has the answer. The answer to the question is beautiful. No problem. But then the person is in a very serious circumstance. Why? Because then they don't have the ability anymore to to answer for themselves, you see. You blow their cover. They don't have any, they can't hide anymore. Because now they come up against themselves. Now the question is, okay, now I have no excuse. Now I see what it is. Can I do it or not? And they find out it's not so easy. Now they're engaged. Now they're beginning another kind of struggle. You see? A struggle with the emotions, a psychological struggle. And that's why it's necessary. It's necessary for perfection to really, you can't just have philosophy without psychology. It was a mistake. The Greeks made a mistake. You can't have it. And that's why I told you last week that the Torah always has these models of perfection. Models of perfection. That's what helps a person sometimes more than anything else. A person's only been a Soyan, and you can identify with somebody in the Torah where he had the same Soyan, and he studied the Chazal, and he couldn't understand. That's the most powerful tool for an individual to be able to be only in the Nisayan. I mean, that's what gives it, hits the mind clearly with a clear representation of another individual in the exact same situation. That's the whole purpose of all the models of perfection in the Torah. We don't have any heroes in the Torah, we have models of perfection in terms of the Messianics, the way they live. And that's something which is tremendously important for an individual in his personal struggle, part of the personal struggle. You have to recognize the importance of the personal struggle, not just giving a person philosophical principles. That's the uniqueness of Yaakov's world, that it combines philosophy and psychology, and it recognizes that both are absolutely necessary and must be unified in order for a person to reach perfection. The world doesn't have this kind of a subject. See, the world subject is psychology, philosophy. But the subject of reaching perfection, how a person should reach perfection, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his chesed, that is, min olam v'yad olam, gave to us. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want man to be in a situation where he can't have perfection. So therefore, it was necessary to combine both. But this subject, the subject of perfection, doesn't exist in the secular world. We have a subject of philosophy, so there's a problem. Perfection is not a subject. I'm not fond of men's problems. Okay. So the Yadus incorporated both. This Mishnah really is directed towards the application, the psychological factors, that the involvement of the psychological factors, the combination of the psychological factors and philosophical. It's a Mishnah that really is an in-between Mishnah. It works on both levels. It incorporates the, not just the philosophical, but incorporates the psychological. In an essential way. What does it mean? It means like this. It means, what the Mishnah means to say is that there are certain personality traits. So Yadus is really a philosophy. What does a philosophy mean? I say it's a philosophy. I say that Yadus is always one thing. It involves the supremacy of the mind. That's the essence of Yadus. Mind is all that Hashem, 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 is via Hashem knowledge. The Navi always criticizes the Jews. Why? Because I'm sochol v'lo chachol. Fanciness, foolishness, nonsense. Vayechu achaya hevel vayebolo. Not because they weren't thrown, but because they denied chachmas Hashem. Fanciness, never listen to Navi. Oh, Navi.
Yidat ha-yom.
Straight through the Torah. Just people, for some odd reason, I don't know why, they're blinded to it. And they look through the Torah, look through the Navi, they just don't see it. They just don't see that there's one word. The Yodata, Yodia, is always mentioned again and again and again. There's never any criticism for people not being emotionally thrown. On the contrary, the criticism is always because they am novo v'lo chacham, constantly, that they were foolish. Foolishness. That's the worst crime. The worst crime is ignorance. So, this system which has a supremacy of the mind of Yodia, of chachma, you see, that's the nature of the system. But the system also employs psychological mechanisms. It doesn't fail to recognize that there are certain psychological mechanisms that a person must employ. And that's the concept of the two that we mentioned before, which are the boshes ponim. Boshes ponim is a psychological mechanism, but Chazal recognizes that this is an important one because it's very important in order for a person to attain perfection, he has to have that boshes ponim. If he doesn't have the boshes ponim, the struggle is impossible because a person has to start the struggle on the emotional. Philosophical is very nice. A person reaches the heights of philosophical life is very nice. But until he gets there, and when he starts, he encounters one thing, emotions. So you have to work with the emotions in order for a person to attain such a level. So the two emotions really are boshes ponim and rachmanis. Okay. But the question is like this. The question is how a person employs, you have to be careful, because if you just work with the psychological mechanisms, so then the person will be a total fool. Which means to say a person's always going to be a Boshes Ponim, a person's always going to be a Merachim, and means again a Rachmanis on a Russia, and it will help the Russia, because the Russia's begging and pleading, so then he's going to destroy the world, because there's a Moshe Rachmanis. And therefore, he will be an imperfected person, a destructive person. So, what does a person do? There is no attitude that a person can have in Yadis that will make him perfected. No attitude. And that's the mistake of the firm world. The firm world thinks that there's a certain attitude you can assume, and this attitude will always get you through. A certain emotional attitude. There's no such attitude exists. That's the mistake. The mistake of firm kite is that there is a certain attitude. That there's an attitude that a person, that they sense in a certain kind of religiosity, and they feel this is the attitude which will always make them do the right thing. It's false. There's no such attitude. The only thing that can do the right thing is Yedias Hashem, Chochmas HaTorah. That's the only thing that a person does. There's no attitude. The moment you see a person that is assuming is encased in a certain kind of a feeling, then you know that this can't be perfection. Can't be. There might be a feeling that would help them in many cases, but it can't be perfection. Okay. So what is the eitzah that a person has to use? What's the eitzah that a person has to use? The eitzah is like this, you see? This is like this. That's why you see the Azas Ponim is really mentioned. Not coincidentally, for a reason, have the Az Kanemer, and then he says, Az Ponim Yigehenna. Okay? Why? What is he saying? What he's saying is very simple. He's saying you must have the feeling of Boshes. The feeling of Boshes you have to have, Boshes Ponim, person should try to preserve that kind of a feeling. He shouldn't try to rip out that feeling from his nature. And that's the mistake of a lot of guys and a lot of people that try the philosophical, that are interested in the philosophical approach to Yadis. What they try to do is to rip out any emotion that they have. So what happens? So they destroy all the emotions, so they have nothing to guide them to perfection. Okay? That's a mistake. That's a mistake of a person who first starts to understand that the emotions are not the area of perfection. The area of perfection is the mind. But what do they do? The first thing they do is they say, okay, so I have to discard all these emotions. So therefore, if I want to sit and learn Torah because I feel that I feel a certain sense of satisfaction because of my conscience, so I shouldn't listen to my conscience. I have to remove the emotion of conscience. That's a fool. A person has to realize that they must use the emotions in order to attain the perfection, not to rip out the emotions. So what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says, Azkan is the worst thing. The person would be brazen is the worst thing. Because on the contrary, it's supposed to preserve your sense of boshes pun, your sense of shame. So what does the Mishnah say? No, the Az Kanemer Lasos Ritzon Mavicho Shabashamayim. Which means to say that the Azus must be under the framework, the rational framework. Which means to say that a person has to realize that the Boshes, the true Boshes, should be with regard to Avicho Shabashamayim. And that's why he uses the term Avicho Shabashamayim. Because the term of Yichas Shabashamayim is an emotional term. So Yichas Shabashamayim is an emotional term. But it means, but on the contrary, the Mishnah wants to use an emotional term because the Mishnah is promoting the idea of a sense of shame which stems from a philosophical, which is on a philosophical plane. Which means the shame of Yichas Shabashamayim. So what a person should do is, he should use the emotion of Boshes Ponim, but he should recognize just a second. Boshes Ponim, yes, it's very good. But over here, if I have Boshes Ponim before people who degrade Yadus, a person has to do a mitzvah, very hard. A person has to daven, has to be on the betula. He stands in the middle of the street somewhere, and he davens, and people will mock him and laugh at him, because he's doing a mitzvah. It's very difficult to say, Boshes Ponim, I can't do this. But what does the Mishnah say? No. Avias Kanema. That's where a person, on the contrary, should employ the emotion of brazenness, and the Boshes should be related to Avicho Shabashamayim. That's what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah means that a person has to take the emotion and place it in the philosophical sphere. It's a combination of philosophy and psychology. That's the Mishnah. Okay? That explains why you have the concept of, why you have the Azus. That's what he means. You see? Now it's like this. Okay. You have Kal Kanesher. You have Rotz Katzvi and Hibur Kari. Okay? So the question is, what is the four? That's the question. What are the four? What are the four? Az Kanema, Tzivo Ba'azis Betochacha Samorim. It means that a person, what? No. Tzivo Ba'azis Betochacha Samorim. It means when you have to be Mochiach and you have to give Musa to those who rebel. that's the Tochacha Tamara. The Kayotzeba. All right? So, yeah. You see, the Rambam has it exactly right. Exactly, I mean, we had to go through this whole thing, and they say the Rambam says it straight. The Kiyilu Homa, Hishtanesh Bektsas HaPchisiyos B'mkomon B'Rotzon Hashem Yisbaruch HaBah Mikasa. And we had to work through this whole thing, that's exactly right. Because being Hishtanesh with the Pchisiyos means with the emotions, the lowly emotions, you should use them when you're confronted with the Rotzon Hashem Yisbaruch, God's will, U'Bah Mikasa, when it's true. Okay? So, Elabatnai Shetia Kavanos Lamas. Now, last verse is something different from mine. So now think like this. So, Azkanema means that the person, you see, the leopard is single-minded. I mean, the leopard is not concerned about anything that's around him. He knows he's after his prey, and that's it, single-mindedness. He recognizes that this is what he needs. He's not concerned, he doesn't hesitate about it. It means that in the world of life, the world of a person's life, so he has to be an askanema. It means he has to be single-minded and brazen when he recognizes the reality of the true world. That's the askanema. That's the need of askanema. That's obvious. Need is obvious. So therefore, whatever anybody says or thinks plays no role. Whatever anybody thinks it doesn't reflect the true world plays no role. That's askanema. What is kal kanasha? Kal kanasha means light as an eagle. Yalu Aver Kanashar. It means that they will sprout wings like the eagles. What does it mean, light Kal Kanesha? It means one thing. It's referring to a part of the human personality which is a big detriment towards perfection. And what is that? What is that part of the personality? That's a person's resistance. A person has a resistance to the good. There's a certain intrinsic resistance that a person has towards the good. If a person thinks to himself, I have to sit down and learn, it's a good idea to learn, but it'll take them a while until the opening of the mouth. There's a resistance there. There's a certain resistance that man has in his nature towards the good. Once he's involved, then he, on the contrary, he draws him. Once he's involved in the world of ideas, it's hard to leave, because it's a terror, something that's very enjoyable. But there's an intrinsic resistance that man has, and some kind of inner resistance, since the fate of Adam Arishon, that a person has towards the good. So the antidote, the opposite to that resistance. That's the kal kanesha, yes? It's the resistance of what is the kind of, where does this come from? It's the olas alev, really. It's the olas alev. Which means to say that a person's emotions don't follow his mind. That's the problem. The problem is his emotions don't follow his mind. A person sees the Chachmas Hashem. This is the right thing. This is he has the greatest life. He'll point to people that live that way and say, the way he lives is unbelievable. Like a person, people notice these things. I have a doctor that next door to him is an old Yid. This doctor doesn't know too much about Yiddishkeit. But he says, amazing, this guy has a pacemaker, he's weak. He sits and learns every day. He sees him, enjoys himself, sits and learns. Anybody can see that this man has a good life. If he didn't have this, he'd be very unfortunate. But the fact is, he can recognize that's one thing. But for the emotions to follow, it's a momentary recognition. But then there's a tremendous resistance. Yes. So that's the kal kanesha. I'm sorry, kal kanesha is really a reference to the inner resistances that a person has, in life. That's the second aspect of perfection.
Yes.
The next one is Ruts Ketzvei. Next one is Ruts Ketzvei. Let's see what the Mishnah is talking about. You know, okay, I'm very happy if I understand a little bit of the truth. I'm not such a greedy person. You know, I mean, I like to understand, unravel it slowly. You know, a little bit of the chatter going. This is what I'm just telling you one thing. The fact of the Mishnah is addressing is the resistance. Anybody denies there's such a thing? I don't think anybody would deny it. Okay. Next step. What is Ruts Ketzvei? What does it mean, Ruts Ketzvei? Ruts Ketzvei. Ruts Ketzvei? Yes, it's agile, correct, it's agile, and it's also tireless. That's why it says, Yelchu Yalu Ever Kanishorim, Yerutsu Veloyi Go'o. Yelchu v'lo yi'ofo. That means the tzvi runs easy. You know, it's effortless. He goes. He keeps on going. He doesn't become tired. Why does a person become tired? A person becomes tired because of the fact that he keeps on being bombarded with the pain. That's why a person becomes tired not from an action he does once, but from an action he has to do repeatedly. Repetition is what makes him tired. It's a psychological weariness. So what the Mishnah is addressing over here is the fact that a person in his personal life, in conflict with the Yetzer Hara, in his personal strivings, and there has to be conflict in his personal strivings. If you think you can do it without conflict, you're making a mistake. You're not restrained. That's why somebody told me that the Rav one time saw years ago. He was walking by a newsstand in the bookstore, where had the stand that had books, and somebody showed him that it's called Liebman, and he wrote a book, Peace of Mind. So the Rav told him, he says, Peace of Mind is for the dead. So the Melchemes Achayim, Chazal talks about the Melchemes Achayim. Melchemes Achayim means that it has to be a struggle. You have to be ready for struggle. Not ready for struggle, then it's it. Not ready for life. So now this life is struggle, it's not. It has to be a struggle. So the problem with the struggle is there's another problem. One problem is the resistance. That's what we spoke about that. In order for a person to involve himself in it. But the next problem is a person gets himself involved, but he endures. He worries. What does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says in Mishlei that the Rasha falls down once and that's it. But Tzadik nafal sheva v'kam. Seven times he falls down and he gets up. It doesn't mean seven. It means innumerable amount of time. It means that no matter how many times he always gets up. Which means to say that he never tires of the struggle. He doesn't get tired. He may get knocked down, he's not up. But the next day, he's starting over as if it's fresh. You see? That's the Yerutsu v'lo yigo, Yelcho v'lo yachol. Even though he was down seven times, when he's up the eighth time, it's like the first time. There's no difference. That's the midah of Ratz Katzvei. He's Ratz Katzvei. Just like the tree keeps running and running, you see him, he runs, it's the same way as it started. Okay. Yes? Yeah, I'll go into that. The point is that what Chazal are teaching you, well, let's take a lesson, Gibor Kari. All right. Gibor Kari. What is Gibor Kari? Gibor Kari, in my opinion, is the most important of all. Gibor Kari. Gibor Kari is the hardest thing. The one, I would say, the one trait in man, which is the greatest trait, is Kari. That has got to be the greatest trait. Because, Chazal says the greatest trait is Anava. Is Anava? There's a difference. Anava is the greatest trait if you're speaking about perfection. It's true. But in attaining perfection, courage is the greatest. Because without courage, a person can never face. You see, let me ask you, another philosopher asked the question. Plato asked the question. Socrates asked the question. He says, I don't understand. Let's take military courage. It's easy to get courage. A lot of types of courage. But we'll isolate one. We'll say military courage. We'll talk about that. He says, when does an army need courage? Does an army need courage when it knows it's going to win? When it knows it's going to lose? That's not courage. It's foolishness. So it doesn't seem that there's any reason for courage. Okay. Any other problem? So the question is, what is courage? What exactly is courage? It's something everybody has an idea about, but they can't really define it. Yeah, there's one definition of courage. Courage is not the courage that people think, that a person performs a great military victory, because most of that courage is based on fear. He's afraid to face himself if he doesn't do it. So that's not really courage. The person says, I couldn't do it. People respect courage because they say he was courageous because I couldn't, I had to do it because otherwise I couldn't face myself. That's a courageous man. That's a fearful man because he's afraid to face himself. You see? So that kind of courage is not true courage. It's based on fear. And strangely enough, people think of it as courage. It's a contradiction, but people don't know it's a contradiction. Yeah. That's why it's courage. Exactly. A is a deeper courage. Why is courage the greatest courage? Because the courage that is necessary is of a different, special type, rare type, which means it's courage that's necessary when a person is faced by his mind shows him one picture and his emotions show him something else, and he's caught in the bechira. And he has to follow his mind. That is courage. That is the only definition of courage. Without that, a person cannot do anything great. Anything really great. That's why, what did David HaMelech tell Shlomo HaMelech? When he took over the Melucha, he told him one thing. V'chazakta v'yiso l'ish. You should be a man. Strengthen yourself. What do you mean? Chazak v'mach. It means courage. Because without that need or without that emotion, a person can never really do anything on a worthwhile, a worthy level. That is the greater. That's gibor kare. That's really what Dvor is. That's the answer to Plato's question. That's what Dvor is. But Plato was looking for an answer in a totally philosophical way. Yadus has an answer, because Yadus, as I said before, combines philosophy and psychology. So you have to combine philosophy and psychology to know what courage really is. From philosophy alone, you'll never get an answer. From philosophy, you're right. So you need it, you'll need it. You need it, it's not necessary, or else it's foolish. But that's only if you're dealing in an abstract philosophical point of view. Plato's question is very good. But in the reality of human emotions, in the struggle, courage finds a definition. Courage is the ability of the soul to follow the ideas in the face of the most powerful emotions. That takes courage. That's the definition of courage. That's gibor kare. That's the fourth aspect of the mission. That's why you need four. But these four things really are what's necessary for perfection. But now for the main. Yeah. That's Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu. Kol ha'olam me'aver echad. It's the hardest thing, I spoke to you yesterday, the hardest thing for a person to endure is public abuse. Hardest thing. I think I would say that it's the hardest thing for a person to endure. The point is that it's true. I'll explain to it. It's not only Ashkenazi. It's both. It's Gibor. These things aren't found in isolated instances. You almost can't separate them, you see? You almost can't say they work. They're superimposed upon each other. The Ashkenema and the Gibor Kari, they work together. Of course. Avrokolo and the Ever Echad involves both things. It involves Gibor Kari and it involves Ashkenema too. But it's the most difficult thing for a person to go against. And it's very nice to read all the story about Avraham Avinu, that he was, it sounds very easy. But you have to realize that that's the most difficult thing in the world to do. To have the entire world, the world respects Socrates as a great philosopher. And I do too. I think he was, to my mind, one of the greatest, if not the greatest philosopher of the secular world. But it's a joke compared to what Avraham Avinu did. Because here was a man that was in Athens that had access to knowledge, and the type of society that he was living in wasn't really completely opposed to him. It did recognize some kind of chachma. It recognized, had a recognition of chachma, and he was very courageous because he carried it out even further too. But Avraham Avinu, where Avraham Avinu was living, that was a different kind of a world. That was a world in gross, totally in primitive. And to be able to realize that your ideas are completely against everything in the whole society, and to be able to live according to that chachma, is the most difficult thing to do. So that's Ashkenema and Gibor Kari. Gibor Kari mainly. Gibor Kari. Gibor Kari, I would say, is the main thing. The main virtue is Gibor Kari. For a person to face his fears, in spite of fear. See, Gvura really, what is Gvura? Gvura isn't only following the rational, as I said before. It's following the rational in the face of fear. Because fear is the most destructive force of the human being. And fear plays a bigger role in people's lives than they imagine. Fear plays a tremendous role in the person. The person doesn't even want to realize the fears he has. And because he doesn't want to realize the fears he has, he immediately goes away. He has like senses, antennas that sense an area of fear, so he goes away. He doesn't want to confront it. But the most difficult thing for a person... Yeah. Why does the Gemara say, I bought Nichtus and Lepadis, and one of them went crazy? Why did he go crazy? He went crazy because of fear. Because a person in this life always supports himself with false securities. He's strong, he's healthy, he's young. If a person would realize for a moment that how temporary a person's life is, how temporal whole existence is, and how those things which he's relying on for his support, his emotional support, can vanish in a second, he'd realize that he wouldn't be able to live. He wouldn't be able to live. Fear would overpower him. Of course, the great Chacham, the great philosopher, always lives in the world of reality. Him, it doesn't overpower. He can recognize the reality, he doesn't disturb it. But the average person is constantly plagued with trying to avoid his fears. He can't accept reality. Reality is just too fearful. Your fear is immense. You can lose his equilibrium. And that's why courage is to be able to follow, to be able to embrace the world of reality in spite of fear. That is the greatest quality. Of course, a person has to go step by step. You can't you go beyond his ability. You can't go beyond his ability. That's the story where Rosa went to. Went crazy. He went crazy because he went beyond his own ability to do it. That's what Rome said. He was a great opponent, but not all of them were able to do it. And he wasn't able to face it. The fears is immense. We could talk about it very easily, but to face it is a different thing. So, but on a smaller way, to face smaller realities, it's a Gibor also requires Gibor Kari, each person on his level. But with the main idea in the Mishnah, what is the main idea in the Mishnah? The main idea in the Mishnah is that a person sometimes has to employ emotional means to in order for him to be able to perfect himself to a higher degree. What is Gibor Kari? Gibor Kari, the Gvura I was just talking about before, true courage is not really what the Mishnah is discussing at all. Much like they try to give an example of courage, but the true courage is not what the Mishnah is discussing. The Mishnah is discussing Gibor Kari, which means it's a kind of once you use the metaphor, you see, the person is employing a certain kind of emotional attachment to it. Like a person recognizes, when a person sees an Ari, he sees a certain Gevura. What attracts him? The Ari is not really rational. The Ari doesn't have any real Gevura. But there's a certain emotional recognition of the Gevura of the Ari. He recognizes there's something majestic about this animal. And he admires that trait. And he identifies with that. He identifies with that trait. Now, that's that kind of an identification, even though it's on an emotional level, it's emotional, but the Mishnah endorses it. The Mishnah says, no, you should use that. Yibor ka'ari. When a person sees an eagle soar, just take off. There's a certain feeling that he gets when he sees it. It impresses him in a certain way. That feeling is emotional, but that feeling should be employed when necessary in order to attain perfection. And Ratz Katzvei, you see the way you see the way a deer runs, the gracefulness and the ease, the way it runs, it impresses a person. So what the Mishnah says is that a person should use these emotional components in his mind when necessary in order to attain perfection. He should realize, what is Gevura? And he thinks of the model in his mind of Gvura and the impact it has on him, and he should embrace that impact. I'm going to be an Ari. He should have that feeling, that tenacity, identify with that quality. This is really the essence, and that's what the Mishnah is saying here. The Mishnah is saying, as Kanema, he should employ the emotional mechanism, because this emotional mechanism will give him perfection. There's one Gemara that comes to my mind when I think about it, because of course these are in the Sionis and the Chaim, so you have to know each different case. The Gemara that says that Gemara talks about getting married, about the Yetzer Hara. Gemara tradition of Chof Pesam days. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that a person should get married at a young age because of the fact that is an interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that a person should get married by Ben Esrin. Because if he doesn't get married at that point, not only will it make a difference then, but for the rest of his life, it'll make a difference psychologically. Amazing chazal. The Gemara says that what are the chachamim? Mishtabach le'Rav Chisla Rav Amnuna le'Rav Huna le'Rav Amnuna Don Gadol. Rav Chisla prays to Rav Huna. He said Rav Huna is a great man, very great person. So Rav Huna says, okay. He says when he comes by, bring him over. So. He came by, so he saw Lo Parasudra. He saw Rashi learns plain and Pashut that he wasn't covering his head. Apparently the style of Yamada didn't exist that long. So because when do they cover their heads? After they get married, they cover their heads. Before they get married, they cover their heads. Okay. Don't be surprised. In I see this is a dangerous piece of knowledge.
It's not a heter.
It's time to tomorrow. But anyway, that's what Rashi learns. Okay. So the Gemara says, so when he came to visit him, he saw he wasn't covering his head, so he wasn't married. So he said, I don't want to see you. He says, when we first get married, then come back to me. So he wanted apparently put a little pressure on him. The Gemara says that the Rav Huna says, Dama ben Esrim shana v'lanasa isha kol yom ha-bavera. If he doesn't get married by the time he's 20, all his life he's going to be in sin. So the Gemara says, Bavera saltavaitach. As a possible, a man gets married, so he's married, he's not going to do Averis. So he says, Elema kol yom of bihira Averis. Means in the back of his mind, there's going to be some unsatisfied libido. that's always going to be with him all his life. An amazing DeMarc. And it just happened. I mean, Sigmund Freud said the exact same thing. He didn't say DeMarc. Said the exact same thing. It's an amazing thing. Somebody showed it to me. That he says, but what's amazing is, he says age 20. Exact same age. Unbelievable. In one of his essays, he says that by age 20, if a person isn't married, that his libido, the frustration of the sexual libido, will be such that it will affect him all his life to a degree. Amazing. I'm coming to the Gemara. But the, yeah. But anyways, but that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the Chazal were very realistic. Chazal were very realistic. That's the beauty of Chazal, as I mentioned before, was that the world that we come from is a world that suppresses, doesn't want to discuss sexuality. And that's why the Christian world, which brought the greatest evils to mankind, and Yadis is always very open about it, because Yadis knows the truth, and that hiding the truth is not going to make a person, give a person any kind of gain, only the contrary. So if Christus said like this, if Christus said, Haida Dithno Mechavroi, that which, the reason why I am, you know, people laugh at Chazal all the time, Yichud with kids, and things like that, and all these different things. How could you say this? Yichud with an old lady, why should the other one say, well, first of all, I understand the wrong structure. But the fact remains that anyone that knows what's going on, especially today, a lot of things are coming to light. You see that the problem, and I hear a lot of stories because of my position, people confide in me, stories is amazing what goes on because of the society, because of the denial of the sexual life of men, and what happens, unfortunately, many times to children, and different things, it's starting to come out now in society. Because of the Christian side that denies the left, that's ridiculous. It's not ridiculous. Anyone that understands the human mind knows that these things, you're dealing with a powerful instinct, unless you recognize it, unless you're honest and recognize it, you're always in danger. Chazal recognized it. It's a parazemus. Okay. So, Amar Chista, Haida Difna Chavroi, the Nesidna Beshitza, we have a Nesidna Barbisa, Havamina Rosotin, Gira Beinacha. So, he said like this. He says, the reason why I'm superior to my chaverim is because I got married at 16. He says, if I would have gotten married at 14, I would have said to the Sutton, Gira Beinacha means an arrow in your eye. I guess in today's parlance, he'd say, I would have spit in his eye. Hey, listen, I'll tell you, from the first time I saw the Gemara many years ago, it always bothered me. What does it mean, spit in the Sutton's eye? Well, what kind of concept is that? I mean, you do what's right because you understand rational, philosophically, you understand it's the right thing to do, so you know it. What's spitting in the Sutton's eye? What's the answer? The answer is that sometimes a person has to have an emotion. Sometimes a person is confronted with the Yetzer Hara and he has to say, I'm going to spit in the Sutton's face. Which means to say that emotion against the Sutton, it's an emotion, but he has to be able to employ that emotion in order to be able to perfect himself. In order to be able to only be a scion, he has to use that emotion. He has to use that emotion. It's an emotion, and it's not the highest level, but he has to be able to employ it. So that's the Gemara. I mean, something you obey now. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. That's what the Mishnah is about, basically. The Mishnah is about employing psychologically attractive mechanisms in order for a person to attain perfection in the process, in the struggle of attaining perfection, a person has to employ these kind of mechanisms. And as long as the Rambam says, his mind has to see the truth. But once his mind sees the truth, he has to employ, even Chazal, you want to talk about a Chizda, because he has to employ that kind of emotional attitude in order to attain perfection. Okay? Yeah, that's right, that's what it means. That's what Yetzer Hara. That's what Yetzer Hara, right. Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Tov is the Chochmah, and the Yetzer Hara is the emotional attitude. It's Bovad, like the Rambam says, Bovad, B'tnai Shetia Kavanoscha Emes. That's the only thing. It must be under the framework. The mind has to search out first, but then he has to employ the emotional. Then he has to employ the emotional. That's why, what? Yes, that's right. That's right. Form of sublimation of the things to the philosophical level, philosophical plane. An interesting problem. That's why he says like this. That's why he says, the Mishnah says, Hu haya omer, az punim l'gehenim, uvoshes punim l'ganedim. That was a statement. The statement was, az punim l'gehenim, uvoshes punim l'ganedim. After he said the Mishnah, after he got finished with the member, with those four Mishalim that attract the person, and the person should employ them, and how these four are necessary in the process of perfection, each one is necessary, he said the fact is that Az Ponim Lagehenim and Boshis Ponim Lagehenim. that a person is very dependent upon the emotional. That's what he said. That's what he said. You know, first he made a statement that a person has to employ the emotional, and then he said it goes so far that you can almost say, almost with certainty, that as punim with Gehenim or voshes punim with Gan Eden. Because the voshes punim, that quality, that emotional trait, will lead him towards the truth. Will lead him towards the truth. Because he has the ability to recognize some, to have some shame and guilt. And that's why this society really, that's what I'm saying. This society tries to remove shame and guilt. They try to, no, I'm not going to do it because of guilt. They don't recognize that guilt is a very good thing if it's used in a philosophical plane. There's philosophical shame. The person says, how can I do such a thing? Well, what would people think of me if I do this as a human being? So that's shame. But that's good because that gives a person that guides him. If as long as his mind is first and his mind tells him what's correct, then he should realize that there's a higher level of shame, not just an erotic guilt, but a guilt that's a philosophical guilt. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. That's what the Mishnah is talking about. So the Mishnah endorses those emotions. It goes so far as to say, as panim with Gehenim, and boshes panim with Gan Eden. It means that the emotions play an important role if it goes so far. But then when he reflected upon that, he lamented, because it's an unfortunate state of a person should be in, that he's never unfortunately dependent upon emotional makeup. That's a low level. That's a very low level. It's true, but it's a sad commentary on human life. And that's why you said, Yiratzon, Mofanecho Hashem Elokeinu, Shetibonet Yircho B'mheirov Yameinu, Desincho Kenu B'sarasecho, which means to say that we should be on a higher level, and men shouldn't be totally dependent upon the emotions. The emotions of voshes punim, which is unfortunate, a person has to be so dependent upon it. And the emotion of Mashiach, when the year Yerushalayim, which is the year of Chochma, can you see in Tetzei Sarat Vashem Yerushalayim? So when the year of Chochma will be rebuilt, and the same Chalkenu B'Sara Secha, the same Chalkenu B'Sara Secha means this sort of thing. Rabbi Greenberg told me this chat, and he's right. The Sinchu Kenu B'Sara Secha is not like most people think. It doesn't mean give us our chelik in Torah. What do you mean? Like you have a little chelik and you want to get that little chelik? That's not right. The Sinchu Kenu B'Sara Secha means the same Sheyehei Chalkenu B'Sara Secha. That's what it means. It's missing a word. The same Sheyehei Chalkenu B'Sara Secha. And you see the Sephardic Siddur, it doesn't say the Sinchu Kenu B'Sara Secha, it says the same Chalkenu B'Sara Secha. Preoccupied with Chochma, because it's an unfortunate state that man is totally dependent upon an emotional attitude of perfection. That kind of a state is really not the state that Yadis looks up to. But in our society, that's what you have to work with. But Shibuna Yircha, the mayor of Yemenu, where Varsham Yetzir Shalayim, where the world will be imbued with Chochmas Hashem, then we won't be as dependent on the emotional state. We'll be able to work more with the Simcha Kenu B'Sara Secha, which is that the person will be able to operate more on the real level, where he's working and he's perfecting himself through Chachma. That's why he added that key over here. Because this whole Mishnah is really not the ultimate state. It's utilizing the emotions and the recognition of how dependent you are on the emotions. So when a person thinks of that, you should be liberated from this kind of a state. And the only way to be liberated from the state of just saying vote is coming with amazing that's all he has, just the vote comes, is being, that's what we're looking forward to when you know Mashiach, which means it will be Kimolach Halor, Deos Hashem, or Kamayim Layam Achasim. That's why he added that to all. Okay? That's the Mishnah. I see the answer. The kasher super zeh, mylas aboshes. The reason why he didn't bring the Rachmanis is very simple. Why didn't he bring the Rachmanis? That was a question I asked before. Why didn't he bring the Rachmanis? The reason is because he was just addressing himself to those four constellations. The resistance, the Askanemer, and then the Kalkanesher, the four that are necessary, those four components that are necessary for perfection. So one of them was Askanemer. So he only mentioned that one. You see, that's why it doesn't mention the other one. The other one is just as true, just as real. Rachmanim and Baishanim. But it doesn't have it's not expressed in one of the four that he mentions, the four components which are necessary for perfection. Okay? Yeah, by the way, the Gemara Pesachim says, where is the Gemara? The Gemara Pesachim brings this Gemara, brings this Mishnah. Havias Kanema. Where? The Gemara Pesachim on Kuf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, like this, the Gemara says that, the Gemara says that a person, if he's poor, so he doesn't have to have a fancy suit for Shabbos.
We don't have to have chance to see it for Shabbos. It says, yeah. I'm sorry, it's Kufi Beis Menachem. The Gemara says, Afilu Rabbi Kiva Amar Asei Shabbat Chachol Val Tetzach Lebrius. So Rabbi Kiva says, Afi Shem Rabbi Kiva, Tom Belio, Afi Shem Rabbi Kiva says Shabbat Chachol Val Tetzach Lebrius. Even though a person is permitted, if he doesn't have any money, so he's not mechuyav to have a beautiful Shabbos, and he can eat regular Shabbos. He says, but still, Avalosu Dover Mu at the Sof Beso. He says, he still has to do something. My Ninu Amar of Papa, Kasa Dasana. It means that he's so impoverished, Mama Flora is impoverished, so what is this? So she takes some kind of fish, sardines, something a little special to show the Shabbos. He says, Nan, Rabbi Yudah Mentei Ma'oma, Avi As Kanem, Rakal Kanesha, Ras Katsi, Vigiba Karil, Asa Sassan of Kashbos Ma'am. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, "Tischazek the mitzvos, yoser mishayachol v'yachah." Means the person should grab mitzvos. He shouldn't just let it go. He's putter really. He's putter completely. He doesn't have to have regular meal, whatever poor type of food he has. During the week he could eat it on Shabbat. But no, that would lack in the need of being tischazek the mitzvos, of going after a mitzvah. So that's why he has to have a tassadizing, the notion of going after a mitzvah. That's tischazek. Okay. That's the mitzvah. First thing in our chayim, that's right. The first thing in our chayim is the tour. The tour started off our chayim with these four things, with this member. Why? Because he recognized that in order he's gaber kariba boker. It means that in order for a person to, when he starts, to face the date, necessary to employ the psychological. Okay? Especially that first moment. Yeah. Okay. That's the reason why you're going to say, Bada Beis HaMikdash, that's the devil's name. The Shana Vacha, the year Kimeolam of Shana Kadmarias is not referring really. It's the same thing that the Kabbalah is called Tila. Tila is two things in Tila. Tila is carbonate, Tila is real Nachman. So that's why you say Bada Beis HaMikdash, because it's carbonate stuff in Tila. But we're not talking about Kabbalah. We're talking about the life of Chochmah. The life of Chochmah is Ir Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Echad Rachim and Parsha, the system of Sofa Kasher Dibata. Shochayim Yerushalayim Hashem. Yerushalayim is the whole city. The whole city reflects. The team takes a third of Hashem and Yerushalayim. Not just the Beis HaMikdash. The whole city is the city of Chochmah. Okay, that's what it is. It's different stuff. Melch Yerushalayim is the Ir Chochmah. Ir Chochmah. That's the city of Chochmah. Different calcium is the Melch Yerushalayim. Of course. I don't know about that. The question of a person being at peace, I mean being at peace with himself, you have to realize that, of course, the philosophers say, and we say also, that a person that reaches a high level of perfection has an unbelievable state of existence. It's a very enjoyable state. It's an enjoyable state that people can't even imagine as well. But it doesn't mean that there's no absolutely no struggle at all. I mean, it means a struggle to this to a tremendous degree. But because he naturally wants the good, and he's naturally involved with it. But that, I mean, it's an unbelievable state. There's no question about it. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. But until the person reaches that state, there's a tremendous struggle until he reaches the state. But the state itself is certainly is a blissful state. But it still is something which it's not, intrinsically it is. But it doesn't mean it's a state. It's not the bliss that a person is looking for emotionally. A person is looking for something emotional. It's just emotional. That kind of bliss doesn't exist. It's a different kind of state. In spite of this, the Gemara says that as the Yitzhak works, so should he say. So should he say. I mean, the sound of the dove. Which means to say that that when a person allows the resistances to completely take over, then that's it, it's finished. I mean, the certain amount of resistance everybody experiences, you have to recognize it. So you have to come to a point where you say, that's it. Now, tell you something else. See, psychology and philosophy are two different fields, but unfortunately, they can't but overlap. And what happens is that when a psychologist becomes a philosopher, they give their philosophy. And when a philosopher becomes psychology, he's a bit psychology. See, in psychology, they promote this myth that you're going to be cured, and somehow or other easily, you're going to be able to be successful. And it's not true. It's not true. It's an American idea. American accomplishment, but it's not true. As a matter of fact, the truth is, I saw somebody one time that was going to a psychologist for years, and I said, there's one thing you have to stand up on your own two feet and recognize that you're struggling at the place. As long as you don't do that, you're not going to get away. Because there's no easy way. No one can work on you and just make you passively, you're going to be able to overcome all the problems. It has to be an aggressive force. You have to face it aggressively. You don't have that in your weakness. You can't do it. And there's a certain amount that, I'm not denying psychology. Psychology is very important, but there's no such concept of this passive, easy way that you're going to achieve your goals. So there's that. The Gemara says, Tamir Chamein La Menucha Lo Bo Mazer Lo Bo. Tamir Cham don't even have, even less than the Rambam, even the Dead have this. The Chamir Chan Zimmer says, Chamir Chamein, Lamin Yuchal, Lo Bola, Masel, Lo Bola, Mabah. It means to say that perfection, because perfection is a constant process. Even though I'm wrong. But this is an enjoyable struggle. It's an enjoyable struggle. I don't remember if I did it last year. I think I got it. I have it. That's it. Thanks. The Rambam, you take a look at the Rambam's Haggadah. So the Rambam says that the Rambam skips Rabbi Yossi Aglieli. Rabbi Yossi Aglieli. Okay? The Rambam skips to Rabbi Yossi Aglieli and is in his Haggadah. He doesn't have, the Rambam didn't sing Vayena. Okay? But he has, L'chol dor v'dor chayev odom liris esatzmo, that's it. And that's it. The Laros, Liros, Tugisos, Rambam, the Haggadah has Liros. But he doesn't, then he goes right to Lafikach. And now, have you got a Haggadah? Yeah, it's interesting. In our Haggadah, it's in before, if you have Dom Va'esh, the Simos, Ashon, after the Tzach Hadash Bachav. After the Tzach Hadash Bachav, so after the Tzach Hadash Bachav, we have a Yesha Guli, and then you have the Dayeno. The Rambam had it. Okay? The question is, why didn't the Rambam have the Diana? And why didn't he have the Rabbi Yossi Aglieli? Why did he omit it? Rabbi Yossi Aglieli says, how do you know that the it starts off with the comparison between the Makos on the Yom and the Makos in Mitzrayim. And it goes right away, Shlokim is saying Esa Makos, and the Yom was Chamisha Makos. And then 50, and then the next one becomes what? 250. The Kiva comes what? And the Kiva is 250. Next one is, now from 50 it goes to 250. Okay. All right. And then you start with the Dayeno. Okay. So the Rambam left this piece out. I don't know why the Rambam left it out. Is it because he didn't like the calculations? I don't know. It's a tanayim. But he can't take it. But there's some reason he left it out. Okay. Why did the Rambam omit it? There's something that bothers me. Why did the Rambam omit it? You take a look at the Rambam in Hilchos Chametz and Matzah. He said like this. Mitzvah saseh, pekshvi. Mitzvah saseh, shel Torah l'saper b'nisim v'flow, shenasu lavoseinu b'mitzrayim b'leo chamish osa b'nisim. What's interesting about his statement? What's interesting about it? He's own. Which word in that word? Which word? The Mitzrayim. Shenasla was seen to be Mitzrayim, but not all alone. That's what he says. Mitzvah says, shall tell the Sapa beneath the flaws. Shenasla was seen to be Mitzrayim. Hello, come and show. It comes out. There's no mystery. Talk about the Yom. Talk about the Yom. Interesting, right? Yeah, those of them say, well, that's it. That's how you know Chamish also. But it doesn't say you should discuss the going out of Mitzrayim. It just says, Zorcha Shayom HaZereshe Yitzchasim, that day which you went out of Mitzrayim. But how do you do it? The mitzvah, what is the form of the mitzvah say? L'safer b'nisu n'flo shenasu avoseinu b'mitzrayim. Okay? It doesn't say anything about the Yom. You should have said, the Rambam knows how to write. The Rambam would have written, shenasu avoseinu b'mitzrayim b'alayam. That's what the Rambam would have written. And the mitzvah talking about the miracles, doesn't mean you should mention by the whole night of this chapter. But in discussing in specific the nisim and the flaws, which nisim and the flaws are we supposed to discuss? The nisim and the flaws in Mitzrayim. Not the nisim and the flaws of the Yom. Of course you have to throw Yitzchus Mitzrayim, that's the whole thing. But there's a method of discussing. There's a specific thing you have to address your attention to, which is the nisim and Mitzrayim, and not the nisim and the Yom. Okay? Oh, so you think I'm just touching the Rambam over. I'll be right. You're further right. It's an interesting Rambam. The Rambam says, Rambam's consistent. The Rambam in Yisori HaTorah, the Rambam says, it's a Perkes. So the Rambam says, Perkes, Allah Chalam. Moshe Rabbeinu Elohim, Yidu Bar Yisrael, Me'os HaSosa. The Jews did not believe in Moshe Rabbeinu because he's a miracle worker. She'amam in Alpiosa, she'esh B'li Bodofi. The person that believes in Osa, there's something lacking in it, and there's some kind of nonsense is there. So some kind of ad is an absence. Dolphin, over here it means dolphin means it lacks in conviction. He's an intelligent person, it lacks in conviction. There are a lot of reasons why he doesn't mean Yoh Kishon, he doesn't mean Kishon. He means to say, illusion. It could be an illusion, it could be an coincidental, it could be accidental, you don't know. Anyone that believes because he sees a miracle, he believes, he's attracted right away, he's not really a completely rational person. The reason why Moshe did these miracles was because he had to. It was necessary in order to escape, in order for the people to survive. It's new on the sofa. He had them drowned, right? He weighted down. Okay? So look how fast mine is. So handle the muzzle on, what about a salon? Alright? Some more buckle on the side of them. They got thirsty, got them water. Cough for bow, and that's color, bubble some arts, the clean shock of ourselves. Alright? So Moshe didn't even do anything. Well, that's the question. These things were not done in order to instill belief. How do you read the pasuk? The first pasuk. The pasuk says, Laman Yavo. In the beginning of Bob. Kenich Bantik Libo, if we ever Laman Shisi, O so say, Ela de Tibo. Well, Laman Tisapa, both me Vincho, then Vincho. Hey, such as a lot of units are in Israel. Played around with units. It's also such a Santivan. You got them from Yashem. Okay? But it says, the pasuk says. Pasuk says, Laman Yavo, not this pasuk, another pasuk. Laman Yavo Tess. Okay. Yavo Tess. That's the one. Vayom Hashem al Moshe lo yishma lechem paro. There's another one though. Laman revos mofsai the Eretz Yisrael. Isn't it? Yeah, that's the one. This is the one. Laman revos mofsai the Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So it says openly. Laman, that's why did God do it? He made sure that paro wouldn't really listen to him in order to increase the amount of miracles. So it's not true to what I'm saying. That the miracles are not done because in order to instill belief. It's open sukkim in the Torah against their own. So that's a check. The answer is, there's a difference. There's a difference between the miracles in Mitzrayim and the miracles leaving Mitzrayim. First, very exact. Which means to say, the miracles in Mitzrayim were done, the man revolts most of the Eretz Mitzrayim. And also, the man revolts with Vincho, then Vincho, Ezechar, Salati, then Mitzrayim. That's also Ezechar, something wrong. So that really was done for what purpose? In order to demonstrate to the people, in order to wean them away from Avodah Zarah, and show them that there's a God. And to direct, yes. In order that they should be willing to leave Mitzrayim. And you had to work with miracles because that was the level of the people. You couldn't do it any other way. So therefore, it's Laman Revos Mosai. People always listen when there's a lot of phenomena. One good argument they always say is no good. One, you want to convince somebody, one good argument. Five bad ones is much better. Because people always like a lot. Yeah, because of this and this, it could be that. It always gets them. One good argument is never very powerful. So that's a Laman Revos. God works with the person in emotion. Laman Revos Mosai. A lot of Mosai. This one, even though each one is weak, but the fact is it has an effect on a person. And it did have an effect. Because you see, the whole nation picked up Nick almost right now. So the Rambam is saying like this. After that, that's all, then you shouldn't use this anymore. The only reason this was used in order to get them to leave Mitzrayim. After that, of course, after that, we're heading Matan Torah and understanding the life of Chochmah. Nisim are not going to get you too far. They'll get you out of Mitzrayim. But it's only a temporary state. The state is Torah, understanding knowledge. So after Mitzrayim, it wasn't necessary anymore to really employ the Nisim. That's why the Rambam is very exact in his word. He says, Lo lovi ra'alam of the law. Hey, it's off my spirit and Mitzrayim Karas Yon. He doesn't mention the Nisim 3-4. But the Nisim 3-4 that happened in Mitzrayim, that was the purpose. But he means once that purpose was accomplished and they followed Moshe Ben and they left Eretz Mitzrayim, so then that's it. Once they left Eretz Mitzrayim, there's no reason to do more miracles. In other words, the Kriyas Yamsa is not going to add anything qualitatively anymore because they're already, they got it following him. They said, there's enough evidence here. Look, even if a person doesn't believe in miracles, there's enough evidence here for me to assume that there's something to this. He's going to go. He's going to follow. Okay? All right. So, that's reverse muscle. Then another miracle is not going to make a difference. Another miracle is just get there. Once you've reached the reverse mosai, there is that was accomplished. So why Kriyas Yamsa? What's the purpose of Kriyas Yamsa? So the Rambam says that. What was the purpose of Kriyas Yamsa? Kriyas Yamsa for a different purpose. It was what? They had to get through, just like, come on! And he makes it out. So, you'll ask me a question, but it says, but so whatever, open your own, so they should make me much other, and that's Yoshi, and okay. So the answer was this. The answer is it's true, it did have that effect on them. It had that effect, but that was not the purpose. The effect and the purpose are two different things. The purpose was not to have that effect, because there was enough of an effect that they were going to follow Moshe Rabbeinu, that's all you need. See? Hakadosh Baruch Hu is economical. There's no reason to go any further. They're going to follow him. That's enough. But it's true, because of Kriyas Yamsa, they were emotionally overcome. And why is it they're emotionally overcome? Why Yerushalayim Shem Yerushalayim Moshav? That's true. But that wasn't the real lament anyway. Because right afterwards, the Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "Nei Enochu Baruch Hu Baruch Hu." The man Yishma B'Dabri Yimach V'Gam B'Chayim Yin Lolam. So finally, the first one, Yerushalayim Moshav, wasn't good enough. That's all wrong. Okay? So why do you have the partial really of Kriyas Yamsa? What's the answer? Why do you have Kriyas Yamsa? The answer is because Kriyas Yamsa is Shira. Shira. It's a different idea. As I mentioned the concept of Shira, we're going to go over it again. Mentioned the concept many times. That Kriyas Yamsa is the concept of Shira. So it's a really an interruption in the Torah. First of all, then it's Ryan, then you have the concept of Shira, and then you have the concept of Matan Torah. Okay? So now you see the Rambam's consistent. The Rambam really omits the whole Yams, Kriyas Yamsa, because you always know part of it. Very simple. Nisim Shinasa the Mitzrayim, and that's it. The man to Safra Bosni Vincho Ven Vincho Esasharek Alalti the Mitzrayim, he has also Sasha something wrong. It's exact. And it's not talking about the offensive. It's a different Rama. Different Rama won't do this. He made it all then. So the question is, the Rambam's very precise. Very precise. You don't have to profess anything about these things. They're not amazing. Tell us you want anything. What's it got? The Rambam doesn't like that. He has to be precise. This place belongs. This one doesn't. So what's our Shita? What is the Shita that God of all of Kali Swords? Not like Rama. So what's the Shita? What do they hold? The answer is they hold a different premise. You see? As I mentioned before, what is Kriyas Yamsuf really? What's the function of Kriyas Yamsuf? It's Shira, the whole institution of Shira. What does Shira mean? Shira means that a person directs his emotions towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The fear of the mission is gone, and he realizes only one thing to fear. That's the ultimate source of all reality. That's God. Okay? That's God. Nothing else. So that's really, that's the controversy. We hold, what our Haggadah holds is, the concept is, that there's two halachas over here on the night of Pesach. One halacha is the Maisa HaMitzvah. The Maisa HaMitzvah is the Garat HaLevinchah. The Garat HaLevinchah. That's the Maisa HaMitzvah. But there's a Kiyum HaMitzvah. The Kiyum HaMitzvah is Shira. That's the Kiyum HaMitzvah. The ultimate Kiyum HaMitzvah is Shira. L'fichach anachnu chayovim l'hodos l'halel l'shabeach l'far l'roman l'halel l'talei. All why? That's me picking up the curse. Most people pick up the curse regularly. Why? Because that's the culmination. Remind the Sefer Bavli Vincha Vendim Chesher Alti Nisrayim. The culmination of life is Shira. Shira Chara Shikha Gulim. The number from Shikha Beshah Lukha. Right? That's the ultimate purpose of the ultimate Kiyum. The Torah doesn't say to do it because the Torah just gives you the Maisa HaMitzvah, the Garat HaLevinchah. But the Kiyum has to be a Kiyum of Shira B'Lay. The Kiyum B'Lay, and the Torah, I mean, the Torah's expression of the B'Lay. But that's the Kiyum of the Shira. And the Raya is, on the fourth coast. The fourth coast doesn't have any more Shira. The fourth coast is totally Shira. It's totally Shira. So the second coast is both. Second coast is Haggadah and Shira. The fourth coast is completely Shira. What's the pshat? What's the pshat is that that's the ultimate level. The difference, of course, between the fourth coast and the third coast, as I mentioned by the best today, is whether it's Shira Chadosha or whether it's Shira Chadosh. Based upon the Gemara, maybe the Rashi quotes the Mechutah and Erechim. And that's when he gives you Shira Chadosha is, Shira Chadosha is a lower level. That's the Shira Mitzrayim, the Shira Chadosha Shikha Gula. Shira Chadosh is the Shira Chadosh Lasa Lava. What's the difference between the Shira Chadosha, the old Shira, and the old new Shira of Shira Chadosha, and the new the Shira Chadosh? So Rashi says the Shira Chadosha, Rashi says, the Mechilta says, of course the Mechilta, that the Shira Chadosh still has Tzoros after it. There's still Tzoros. You see, they went there, they have Mitzrayim, and they have a very nice Shira Chadosh of Gulim, and they have the Tzoros on the different places there. And then you have, right, then you have Shlomo Melech, but then it's Shlomo Melech, Rechavam, the whole thing, and Golas, you know, all the tragedies, the whole history of the Jewish people was after the Shira Chadosh. So that Shira Chadosh couldn't say, Chol Yisroch, all the tragedies. But the Shira Chadosh, Rashi says, Shira Chadosh is Lashon Zachar, it's not molded Tzoros. It means that the ultimate Shira Chadosh is going to be a type of shear that, from that point on, the love being itself is the cause of all anymore. That's the difference. That's right. Shear Chadosh al Gula Sein or Pukuk Mosul. That's shear loss of lava. The last curse is really matter what happened in the time. The last curse is loss of lava. The ultimate shear. What's the difference between the shear Chadosh of the old shear and the shear Chadosh of the future? There's one difference. See, the Gemara says, and I've been talking, what is the, when we say Hallelujah, what is in Hallel? What is in Hallel? And the Gemara says, I've talking, what the constituents of Hallel are. Hallel really is the Tzias Mitzrayim. Long cookie set. The Tzias Mitzrayim, five things in Hallel. The Tzias Mitzrayim is one, two is... Yeah. Hey, Dvon, you want to say this? My, if you may ask, if you can Hallel a Godel, if you can Hallel a Godel, and now my time, I'm meeting my, what do we say to regular Hallel? You should say, hey, Dvon. Hallel, hey, Dvon, a lot. The Tzias Mitzrayim, Tzias Yamsuf, Matan Torah, Tzias Amesim, and Shabbos Yomashiach. Okay, so the Gemara goes through each one of this. But what does it mean to say? It means to say that the Shira Chadosha is tied to various, to different things. It's tied to Yitzhak Yitzrayim, it's tied to Kriyas Yamsuf, and Yitzhak Yamsuf, and Shira, okay? Those two. So, that's why, according to this Shita, that's why you, of course I understand that, that's why according to our Shita, you need in the Bir Sezuli, and you need in the Dayenu, because since the key is Shira, so then the Sipri Yitzhak Yitzrayim should be, not just the Yitzhak Yitzrayim, but Yitzhak but also the Kriyas Yam, because that's part of Shira. That's Hallel. Hallel is Shira, and it has the five things. What are the first two? The first two things are the Yitzhak Yitzrayim and Kriyas Yam. Kriyas Yam. That's what you think of. That's the key of Shira. But the Shira Chadash of the past is on events. It's on events. Events are, it's tied to events. It means to say, when a person understand when a person thinks that God took him out of Eden, of course, that we're here today, we can study Torah, because of this and that, he has to appreciate that. Any appreciation of Torah, he has to more simple and he has to be in Shabbat. Okay? So that's a teaching Shabbat, and that's clear, Samsur, Martin Torah. Alright, clear some Mason, that comes under this Chavonus, Chavoshel Mashiach. Okay, fine. So it's Chavonus also. But the point is that Shira is tied to events. Now, the fact is that when a person's Shira is tied to an event, it's still not the full level. It's not the full level. From what I say. Because his Shira has to be tied to something. Something tangible that happens only that he senses advantage from. But the truth of the matter is that the ultimate Shira really doesn't mean events. The ultimate Shira is just a recognition of a class of Bacha, recognition of God, to his universe, to his Chochma, and the Shira that comes forth from the person recognizing the endless infinite Chochma Hashem, that's the real Shira. Which Shira is that? That's the Shira Chodah. That's the Hala Gadol. That's the Hala Gadol. That's Nishmas Kolchai. Nishmas Kolchai to Vorech Hashem Chodah, Hashem Olo Kone, Nishmas Kolchai. It's not only the soil, not only the person that was in the Shrine, but Nishmas Kolchai. Means everyone that recognizes, that has any recognition of the Chochma, has to look at Bosa, look at Bosa, the forest, the Lone, Malkano, Shishim Chom, Malkano, Nina Olam, Nina Olam, the Ada Olam. Mina olam vi ada olam. What does it mean, mina olam vi ada olam? So in Tehillim, that's a pasuk in Tehillim. Rav Shulke Shulal, mina olam vi ada olam. Mina olam vi ada olam. What does it mean, mina olam vi ada olam? So there's a beautiful medrash. Medrash says, the lashon ha-medrash, the lashon of the medrash is, min almo de lo havin bei ad almo de anan bei. It means in the world that we were not in until the world that we are in. Mina olam vi ada olam. It means the praise and echoes for the world that you didn't exist in and the world that you do exist in. That's the difference. The Shira Chadosh in Mitzrayim was the Shira Chadosh, but it was the world with Amor de Anande. It was a world that they experienced that has to do with me. To be Meshaveh God for a world that you didn't even exist in, completely objectively, just because you recognize the godless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's Amor de Lohavim, the low, Amor de Lohavim in the world. Amor de Lohavim, that's the highest level of Shira. That's the Shira Chadosh Lohavim level. It's not tied to Mitzrayim, it's not tied to a course of emotion, it's not tied to anything that has shackles to you emotionally. But it's Amor de the Lohavim in the world. That fish must call back to the water, see what it's going to be. The person reaches that level of Shira, that is already beyond the personal, that's the level that will exist in the future, that goes beyond the Tzias Mitzrayim, beyond the Gula Mitzrayim, it's the Gula Siddur, that's the ultimate level of recognition of God on an objective plane where it's not necessarily tied personally to not the Alma of the Anaybe, but even the Alma of the Lohavim, when the person reaches that level, after such a recognition, when the world comes to such a recognition, Mocha was there for the Shem, then there won't be any more Torah. Then can't be time as well as Torah. Because as long as it starts with some emotional connection, then you have it, and you lose it, and you lose it from the Torah. So that's the ultimate shift. That's the last course. That's the last course. But this sheet of hell that suits the kingdom of a God is Shira, the Shira Chadosh of the past, and the fourth course is the ultimate Shira Chadosh. So you can't omit Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf is Kriyas Yamsuf Shira. It goes up a link. That's the creation of the two things, is you see that Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, and Kriyas Yamsuf is a separate event. You see the way it works. Separate. It's a separate event. In Shira, Kriyas Yamsuf plays an important role. In Mitzvah, let's not put the Mitzvah in the flaws, and that's Mitzrayim doesn't play any role at all. So the Rambam omitted it, because the Rambam held that the Mitzvah really is simply the Sefer, and the Mitzvah in the flaws, and that's Mitzrayim. You got that. That's the Mitzvah. Our Shita is, we hold that's the Maisa Mitzvah, that the Kinyan is the Kinyan Balei from the path of Shira. That's the case, that's the mention of Kriyas Yamsuf, that is Shira. Kriyas Yamsuf is the ultimate model for Shira. There are only two Shiras in the Torah. One is Kriyas Yamsuf, and the other one is Havina. Right. So you have to have the Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay, all right, so stop it.
Yeah.
Well, this one is what I said Sunday. I just want to clarify something. That I said that there's two types of challah. There's two types of challah. One type of one halal is the halal on the gula, on the shira chadash halal. That's the halal on the shava. And the second type of halal is the halal asad lava. I mentioned the difference is because the halal on the shava is really the gula. There's five things in the halal. There's Gula Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Chavi Mashiach, and Kriyas Hanesim, and one more. So, anyway, that's what you want to say. But then you have Halal Gadol and Nishmas Kolchai. What's the difference really, just a little more definitively, what's the difference between the two? The Halal and Mishavar is type 1 event. Type 1 event. The Halal L'Asim Lovel is the Halal of Yediyas Hashem. That's the difference. See, the Halal Mishavar is the halal that is the halal that has to do with the course of Tov because of certain events. It's tied to an event. Tied to Tzitzis Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf. It's tied to an event. But the halal loss of Lovo has nothing to do with any event. It's Yediyas Hashem.
That's why it says Nishmas Kol Chai Tavar Hashem Kadosh and Olakim Ruach Kol Basar Tavar Hashem Zichron Olakim Tamer Minol Olad Olam. It means to say every human being, no matter what experience he has, has nothing to do with it. Came out of Mitzrayim, but he came out of Mitzrayim. First hour is only based upon the Mitzrayim. And that's why, that's the difference essentially between Hallel HaMitzri and Hallel HaGavri. What is Hallel HaMitzri is? It takes so much time. It's tied to an event, you see? The Hallel, that's why even in the first one, in the first paragraph, it doesn't say mention Mitzrayim, but it's still tied to an event. Because it says, Ramal Kol Goyim Arishim. Okay, you can understand what you know. I'm a deal, a shadow, some a spiel, or some mind of you can therefore dull, mash, press, you're in every one. It's events, events, tied to events. But the Hallel HaGadol is not tied to events. Hallel HaGadol is Hallel to you, Pius Hashem. Heard will tell the king, La Doni Adonim, La Osein, if Los Gdol Savado, Los Eshmein, the Spoon of the Rock of Osamayim, Los Eshmein, the Golem, as Hashem, Eshmein, Shelf, Bayom, as Erech, the Kabbalah, Shelf, Bala, 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 you see, then it contains with different things, with the events are also there too. But the essence of Hallel HaGadol really is Hallel to Pius Hashem. That's the Hallel. Of course, the Makim Tzayim of Koreyim and Hayat Tzayim of Terechon B'Yachazorim Tzuyah is to show us Gorchas Hashem. But the essence of the Hallel really begins, and that's the essence, is the Hallel of Yiddish Hashem. That's the reason Hallel Lassim Lavo and Hallel Shabbat.